Morning, everybody. So this morning, thinking about communion and what it means, today's day to think about what Jesus did for us, says, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus suffered on the cross for each one of us, but he also did it to bring a people to himself. Paul teaches us that when we come to him, that we become a new creature. And the Bible teaches us that we are adopted into the family of God, brought into the kingdom of God. And we have one spiritual father. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And there's a lot of... thought about a few different things about this morning. A message on personal holiness would be very appropriate on the day we're taking communion. But I decided to focus on each other. So I was going to give a title to this. I would just say it's an exhortation to love. Just a reminder that we are family, that we are brothers and sisters, that we... Well, I'll leave it at that. So I'm gonna start by reading in John. We take what Jesus said literally. We will be washing each other's feet, but there is a greater principle in what Jesus was teaching. I believe he was teaching us to serve one another throughout life, not for that moment. So John 13, I'm going to read verses 1 through 14. It says, now before the Passover, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself, and after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, ye are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. I guess I'll leave that right there. That example, I think, goes way beyond washing one another's feet. Go to Luke 22. Start in verse 25. I'm going to read 25 through 32. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my tribute in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." I guess I'll stop there, but he's teaching you that the greatest among you, I'm not sure how to qualify that, but I guess in one way it's those who are closest to him, really, in a way, but people who exercise authority need to be servants, and I think he's teaching us that we all need to serve each other. I think I wrote something down wrong, but let's see. Okay, actually, I'm gonna read the next few verses. It says, "I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom and sit on the throne, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fall, that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen him, strengthen your brethren." So he's going to teach you here about serving one another, about how the greater should serve the smaller. But he also gives us an example here of praying for each other. He says, "I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." And he says, "And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." He teaches him that we are to be strengthening one another in the faith, to pray for one another, serve one another, and to edify each other. He wants us to strengthen and encourage the brethren. I'm going to go to Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount. Some things we all know, but it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Just looking at these real quick, verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." You know, it says his people are humble. And we need to have an accurate picture of ourselves, especially if we are looking at other people, noticing other people's faults. An attitude poor in spirit, we can see our own, and that should be more of our focus. There may be a time for correction for somebody else, but I think generally speaking, we need to focus on ourselves. It says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." He wants a humble, meek people. I think of a meek person as, in this context, is someone who doesn't always need to be heard first. Someone who is gentle and quiet. I don't think it's a phrase that speaks of weakness and not being capable. It's someone who doesn't assert their capableness in front of everybody else to show it off or to be seen. Or it's a person who just works quietly in the background. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He wants us to seek righteousness not only for ourselves but for each other, to help each other, to serve and guide and help pick our brother up when he falls. And it says, who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Yeah, that is for personal holiness, but also it's a hope and a goal for our brothers and sisters. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. When we see our own faults and errors, have a humble, meek attitude, we can, it's easier to be merciful. Since the merciful shall obtain mercy, he wants us to have mercy on each other. I mean, sometimes probably I'll do things that bother somebody else in one way or the other. And we really, it wasn't that long ago, we were listening to a message on Tuesday night, and I don't even remember really the full context, but the guy was talking about how some people know how to push each other's buttons to get them riled up, to get them worked up, get them angry, whatever it is. And he said a Christian ought to go buttonless. And I thought that was a good description of, you know, we need to not be offended easily and just extend mercy to others. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. We are, all through the scriptures, we are told to seek peace, to make peace. If you go to, verse 22 says, but I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. Go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown in the prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. We want to be peacemakers and forgiving. Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. There's no place within our family to just hold a personal grudge about something. Like I say, there may be times for rebuke, there may be times of discipline, but not a personal bitterness or a grudge. Chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. Call it the golden rule. We always should treat each other as we would hope to be treated. I'm going to take a look in John chapter 17. I'm going to read verses 20 to 23. This is Jesus' last prayer, or at least last one that we know of before he was taken. Jesus is praying for his disciples. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Jesus' prayer is that we would be one people, that we would see each other as family, that we would see each other as one united body in Christ. We are a pretty disparate group as far as some of our backgrounds. We don't depend on a list of rules to make sure we're all doing the same things. We need patience. Sometimes some people have different opinions on certain things, dress, music, entertainments. We need to find a way to have patience with each other, to be one people, even though we're very disparate in those things. I'm going to read, go to John chapter 13, I'm going to read verses 34 through 36. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. It's pretty self-explanatory. Jesus wants his people to show the world that's one of the marks of his church, is that we care for each other, that we love one another. And it's one that there's been a lot of failure over history. The church has not always done the greatest for that. But that is his hope for us. That is what he prayed for us. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians. I'm just going to read chapter 13. And though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long. It is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It isn't puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prosper. Okay, I'll leave that there. But that gives a good overview, I think, of who we are to be and regarding our thoughts, our actions with each other. We're supposed to be long-suffering, not to seek our own, but to seek for others over ourselves. It's another aspect of loving each other, of being a family, of edifying one another that I want to look at. Romans, I'm going to read chapter 14 and just a couple verses into 15. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let him who eats despise him not who does not eat. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord. For he gives God thanks, and he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat, and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. To this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the living and the dead. But why do you judge your brother? Why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. And I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue things which make for peace, and things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. I think that's a really important chapter, and I think that it may not get enough attention. The teaching here is that even if something is not sin, something that we enjoy quite a bit. He says, if it's an offense to your brother, if it makes your brother stumble, just don't do it. It's really not that big a deal. You can go the day without meat. Now, I guess my point with this is we should, at the very least, be conscious of things that we do that our brothers may not feel comfortable doing. And at the very least, not make a display of it. I don't know. I don't know the right way. But at least give it thought, how we handle things, where there are differences of that. Give it thought and prayer. That is, giving that attention is loving your brother. 1 Corinthians 14. read verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. Let all things be done for edification. We are to work to edify one another, to build each other up in the faith, to help one another on our walk as disciples in Christ. It could mean all kinds of things. It can mean being an example. It can mean some counsel. But let all things be to the edification. Ephesians 4, we'll read 11 through 16. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teaching for the equipping of the saints of the work, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things, into him who is the head, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Jesus, he's building his church, he's building his kingdom. I know I've made this point before, but everybody that is saved through Christ, everybody who is a disciple of Christ belongs here. They're part of our family. We don't get to choose. He adopted his children. They are brothers and sisters. And we need to love each other. Go down to verse 21. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So as we look at communion and think about how Jesus died to build this spiritual family, and today's a day to remember what he did for us personally, but it's also what he has brought us into. It says if we don't forgive our brother, we don't go to him on the way to God, that he will neither forgive us. Let's make sure as we come together this evening that there is no bitterness, that there's no anger and bitterness toward each other. We want to love one another, be long-suffering, patient, and kind. We want to help each other, bear each other's burdens, help each other get back on the right track. build each other up in the faith. And as Jesus gave the example, to pray for one another. It's his family. It's not ours. We just happen to be in it, thankfully. I'm going to read Romans 12, and I'm going to close with that. So I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophesy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it to ministering. And he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Well, I'm going to leave it at that. It's nothing new there, but thought it was a good day to remind us all, put it on the forefront of our minds.